Atyahara and Prayas. It says, collecting and eating more than necessary also causes prayas, or unnecessary endeavor. So when we collect so many things, then we get in great anxiety. And when we start collecting so many things, we have to work very hard to maintain all of those things. Therefore, Nautam Das Thakur and other acharyas, they've advised us to live a simple life. And Nautam sings in Prarthana. So when will that day come? And I can give up my very soft, nice bed and all those things, huh? And instead, I can take rest on the ground and Braj. Just like Ganga Mata Goswamini, previously to her, in her beginning part of her life, her name was Sachi. And she was the daughter of a princess in Bengal. And she managed to escape from that and she came to Braj. And she was sleeping on the bank of the Jamuna. And her hair had become matted. And the insects were coming and biting her and living in her hair. And like that. And she went to one sadhu, one Haridas devotee, and asked him, please give me initiation. And he said, oh, you're not really sincere. You're the daughter of a princess. You should go away. Daughter of a king. You're a princess. You should go back to your royal family. No, no, no. Really, I'm very serious about this. He said, okay, then you do Madhukari. So she started going and begging in people's houses. Could you do like that? Live on the bank of the Jamuna and just not comb your hair and just go and do Madhukari with people in Braj. Very, very difficult thing. But Nautam Das Thakur, he's saying, when will that day come? This will be a very nice day. This will be a very happy day. We think it'll be a very happy day when someone gives us 1 crore rupees. Then we'll be very, very happy. That'll be a very good day. But Narottam is saying just the opposite. Jagarasa bhojana dure parihari kavedraje madhya kaiva madhukari. When will that day come? When I give up all these nice foodstuffs. No more pizza. No more pastries, no more cakes, this thing and that thing. And I can just go and knock on the houses and Braj. Bo Mata Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi. And just do Madhukari and accept whatever they give me. That'll be a very happy, very, very nice day. With no anxieties. So Rupa Goswami, he's teaching us this thing, Atyahar Prayasascha. These are bhakti vinashyati. These will destroy your sadhana. We should become sadhus. Indirectly, what he's saying is that we should depend on Krishna. Rupa Goswami is instructing us that just accept whatever comes on its own accord and be peaceful and accept that thing. Be detached. Don't worry about collecting a big position and lots of fans and respect. Don't worry about collecting so much money or a big family or many cars and clothing and so many things like that. Pashit pakavipariyasam. Those accumulation of things simply causes more and more anxiety. So Prabhupada says that this prayas comes from atyahara. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes that if this prayas is not given up, then bhakti will never arise. This over-endeavor. He says that the word prayas means endeavor or useless labor. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes different types of prayas. There's different types of over-endeavor. It's like Chanakya Pandit. So we did a little studying on Chanakya's verses. Sometimes people say, oh, Chanakya, we don't want to quote him, he's not a devotee. But you might be interested to know that I've come across many of his verses in Padma Purana, in Mahabharata, in Naradiya Purana, different places. He's just taken things from different shastras and is quoting them.
Also mentioned in the fourth kind of Bhagavad.
Yes. So we shouldn't think, oh, he's just some materialistic person. He also talks about Krishna and Krishna Bhakti sometimes too. So anyway, he's described Asantushta Dvija Nashta. Santushta hi mahi buja Salaja Ganika Nashta Nirlajascha Kulangama. Santushta Dvija Nashta. A Brahman who's not satisfied, he'll fall down. But a Kshatriya who is satisfied, he'll fall down. So it's different. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he speaks about prayas, he says this prayas, this understanding, applies differently according to different persons. What's prayas for a grihastha is not the same as prayas for a brahmachari. A brahmachari, like in Chopati temple, I think still they give you one milk crate or something. You can have a possession, and that's all that you're allowed to have if you're wearing saffron. Very, very simple. But a grihastha, my God, you know, we know grihasthas who have houses in Mayapur and Puri and Vrindavan and in the West. They have four or five houses. In each house, there's a go-down. There's so many different possessions and TVs and computers and this thing and that thing. So what's prayas for one person is different for another. And for a Brahman, he should always be satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord. And if a Brahman, meaning also a Vaishnava, if he's not satisfied in that way, whatever comes naturally, then he's fallen. But a Kshatriya or a manager, he should never be satisfied. He should always want more and more. Because more and more funds are required, more and more material opulences are needed to maintain the state. Not that like the sort of perverted Kshatriyas today. We have in UP and other places, they don't even want to fix the roads and Brudge. Instead, they just put the money in their own pocket and they buy so many nice things with it. So, santushto mahi mahi buja. That a king will fall down if he is satisfied. And he says, asalaja ganika nashta and nirlajascha kulangana. For a housewife, if she becomes immodest, she gives up her modesty, that's a fall down. But for a prostitute, if she becomes modest, if she becomes shy, that's a fall down. How can she make her money? So it's just the opposite. So this prayas is applied differently according to different persons. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it's different, especially for the renunciates, for the brahmacharis and the sannyasis, and for the grihasthas. He says the renunciates, they shouldn't save money at all. I was speaking once to one of the Goswamis, very senior Goswami here from Radharaman Temple in Vrindavan, and he's complaining to me about the renunciates in Braj. Don't just think this is ISKCON's problem. This is a big problem everywhere. He said in the banks in Braj, I forget what he said, there's something like 200 crore rupees or something. It's a huge amount of money. And he said 80% of that money belongs to sannyasis and babajis and, you know, maharajas, persons like that. So they're accumulating that money. Now, Srila Prabhupada also collected so much money. And a Vaishnava may do that. But we should be very, very careful. And we spoke something about this yesterday. I don't want to go over it again, but just to mention that we shouldn't imitate. And if we use that money for Krishna's service, then everything is okay. But if we use it for our own self-aggrandizement, then it becomes very, very dangerous. Prabhupada writes in
seventh canto of the Bhagavatam.
Now, as far as our Krishna consciousness movement is concerned, we are getting money naturally by the grace of God by selling our literature. This literature is not sold for our sense gratification. To spread the Krishna conscious movement, we need so many things, and Krishna is therefore supplying us the requisite money to advance this mission.
One Srila Prabhupada, one man came to him, and he said, "Oh, Swamiji," he said, "you know my Gurudev, he's a sadhu. Once someone came to him and offered to give him 1 crore rupees, and my Gurudev refused. No, no, I won't take money. Money is contaminated." He told that to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, "My Gurudev would have asked you for more. You give me that and I want more." But then he would have used everything in Krishna service. So it's not that we falsely renounce. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he comments in this verse, he cites Rupa Goswami, "Prapachikatiya bhujya hari sambandhi vasunaha mumukshubi parityago vairagyam phalu katyate." That someone who falsely renounces things, that's bogus. Someone like this Mayavadi guru, someone who refuses money, "No, no, no, I don't want to take money." That's some kind of renunciation. And on one level, that's good. But better than that is you take and use it for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. But we have to be careful. Because if we use it for ourselves, and it's very dangerous. Therefore, anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha nirbhanda krishna sambande yuktam vairagyam uchite. We should use everything for Krishna's service, for Krishna's pleasure. And if we do like that, then everything becomes very, very nice. But if we use it for ourselves, then everything will become disturbed. So, a renunciate shouldn't save money at all. It's not good if brahmacharis or sannyasis are keeping bank accounts for themselves. Sometimes someone may do for some service, we're describing, but if they're keeping for themselves, then better they get married. That's the behavior of a grihastha. Grihastha may accumulate things like that because a grihastha has to feed so many persons. There's one story in Vedic literature of a young Kshatriya who once came to a king and said, "Oh my dear king, I'm very, very expert at fighting and warfare. And moreover, I'm very, very trustworthy and dependable. And I would like to offer my services to you if you give me a proper amount of money." And the king said, "Yes, you sound very good." He had some faith in him. "How much do you want?" "I want 500 gold coins a day." He was a little taken back. "You want so much money?" "Yes. If you give me that, then I promise I'll be..." So the king, he was very curious. He agreed to that, and he started giving him that money. And then the king went and was spying on him. And he saw that person, when he'd get the money, he would go out, and the first thing he did, he'd give half it away to the Brahmins, immediately. And then he would go to his house, and when they would eat, they would always go outside and call, "Is anyone hungry?" And they would use another good portion of that money to feed any poor persons who were coming. And he would use the money to take care of his family, and to feed different poor people, and then some small portion, finally, he was putting aside for savings in case of some emergency. So grihastha has that business because he's supposed to maintain everybody. But a brahmachari doesn't have to take on that burden. A brahmachari, sannyasi, they can be free. It's a very heavy burden. That money is such a heavy karma. Just like ladies. Ladies want to have beauty, but they think it's a very nice thing. If I become very, very beautiful, that's a very desirous thing. But actually, it's a heavy load. Because when you have that kind of physical beauty, then people don't care about you. They just want to harass you, and you can't go anywhere. Now, you try to think of, some woman who's won Miss America or Miss Universe contest or something, and she comes to India. People just follow her around. Lakshmi Moni Mataji, she brought the girls a few years ago, young girls, very beautiful, blue-eyed, blonde-haired girls from America, to take them around in India. Very nice, it's very good for the girls. When they went to Mumbai, one of the brahmacharis there saw one of the girls, and Cupid shot a few arrows in his heart. And he went to his authority and said, "Oh, I have to marry this girl, I have to." Right? And he said, what, are you crazy? You can't do it. No, I have. So, okay, so then he went and he talked to him with the Lakshmi. And Lakshmi said, this girl's 14 years old. You know, her parents aren't going to agree with that. No, forget it. And that boy, he committed suicide. He killed himself for that. So we think all this beauty is a very, very desirable thing to collect. But really, it's a burden. And money is the same thing. We think money is a honey. Money is a very, very nice thing. Let me accumulate this money. But we think in history of people like Howard Hughes, in fact, like a crazy person. And so many millionaires and rich people committed suicide. Because that same money, there was one story in America we heard, one man won the lottery. And he got, I don't know, $100 million US or some huge amount of money. And they interviewed him a few years after that. And he said, so, what do you have to say about after winning all this money? He said, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life. He said, I really wish I could have given all this up. He said, when I got this money, my daughter started coming to me and wanting money, and I started giving her things, and I didn't know. She started taking drugs, doing this thing and that thing. And one day she took too much of something, and she died. And all my friends have left me. Everybody just wants money from me now, and everybody's harassing me. I can't go anywhere. My life is completely disturbed. I wish I never would have gotten this thing. So we think it's such a nice thing. But it's not a nice thing. So people who are wise, brahmacharis and sannyasis, they have some intelligence. They don't want anything to do with that. I don't want that thing. If you're a brahmachari sannyasi and you keep your own bank account, you think, oh, this will help me. But it will cause you more anxiety. Because then when your friends find out about it, they'll start laughing at you. Isn't it? Pointing a finger, oh, he's doing like this. And the girls will think, oh, maybe he wants to get married. When they hear like that, everybody will laugh at you and make fun of you. So it's a cause for anxiety. So renunciates shouldn't save money. They should maintain themselves, Bhaktivinoda says, by begging alms. That's a simple life, a happy life. Our Fakir Mahamrabhu is always telling us that food that you collect by doing madhukari, it has a very special flavor, very, very happy flavor. And the third thing he says is that they shouldn't work in any enterprise, brahmacharis and sannyasis. They should simply depend upon Krishna and do Krishna seva. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes different types of prayas. There's gyan prayas. This prayas is when someone endeavors for liberation. They're working very hard for this thing. But this is a type of prayas. And it's condemned in the Vedic literatures. Gyane prayasam udapashyanamanda eva jivanti sammukharitam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shuti gatam tanuvam manobir yiprayaso ajita jito pasitrais trilokyam. Lord Brahma, he praises in the 10th canto to Krishna. And this verse, incidentally, is the first verse which Roy Ramananda spoke to Mahaprabhu in Madhulila chapter 8 in Roy Ramananda Samvad, that Mahaprabhu accepted. Everything before that he was saying, oh bhai, this is external. Can you please say something more? This is the first thing he accepted. He said, this is okay, but can you say something more? The first thing is gyane prayasam. We should give up over endeavoring for this gyan. And what does that gyan mean? This is a very big subject. We won't go so much in this direction, but just to give you some idea. Rupa Goswami, he describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11 that Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anabrita. He says that anyabhilas should be shunya, but jnana and karma anabrita shouldn't be covered. Bhakti shouldn't be covered by jnana and karma. Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on that, he says, what does that mean? Why doesn't he say jnana karmadi anavritam? No jnana, no karma. Because some jnana and some karma can be good. And he says there's three types of jnana. Tat padartha jnana, tvam padartha jnana, and jiva brahma aikya jnana. Knowledge of the soul. That's good.
That's not prayas. That's not gyan prayas. That's not a bad thing. That may be beneficial for our bhakti. That's bhakti anukul, so we may accept it. Tvatparatagyan, in understanding tamparatagyan and taparatagyan, understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's also beneficial for our bhakti, and we may accept it. But jiva brahma aikya gyan, knowledge of the soul and God is one, that thing's rejected. But he says, although these things may be useful, still Rupa Goswami says, anabritam. Don't cover bhakti with them. Don't think that these things are necessary. If you think that jnana is necessary, that's also a type of prayas. That's also a type of over-endeavor. Even in the realm of bhakti, even in the realm of bhakti literatures. There's certain classes of devotees we see today who will judge someone as a sadhu on the basis of their knowledge. Isn't it, Mataji? We see many people like this today. Oh, he's a sadhu. He's very rasik and he knows so many verses from Lita Madhav and Vidagdha Madhav and this thing and that thing. And because of that knowledge, we say he must be very good. But then if we see someone else who's maybe opened up a dozen temples and is preaching like anything, but they're a very simple person, and we say, oh, he's not really a Vaishnav. He's not very high class because he doesn't know all these esoteric things. That's foolishness. And that's covering our bhakti. That type of jnana is covering bhakti. We're thinking that that jnana is more important. We're thinking that bhakti is dependent on jnana. But it's not dependent on jnana. It's independent. It's not dependent on anything. So that's prayas. That's gyan prayas. So gyan prayasam udapashyanam anta eva. Give that thing up. And what does he say instead? Jivanti sammukaritam. Your life isn't how many verses that you learn and how many classes that you give and how many people get impressed by how knowledgeable you are. Jivanti sammukaritam bhavadiyavartam. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam. Your life is this Krishna Katha that you've heard from Satmukh, from the lotus-like mouths of these devotees of Krishna. Jivanti sammukaritam bhavadiyavartam. And after you've heard from them, what should you do? There are different types of disciples. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's bahirmukh shishyas and antarmukh shishyas. The bahirmukh shishyas are the external disciples. There's three basic categories. One of them is the sneha silita, and he wants affection. He wants recognition from his Gurudev. So he hears from his Gurudev, because Gurudev is very nice. He pats me on the head and he gives me some sweet afterwards, and I ride in the car with him. But then he has a problem, because he's anartha yukta vasta. He has anarthas in his heart. His darshan and his Gurudev is bhogya darshan. He's trying to just accumulate something. Oh, do you know who my guru is? I was initiated by Gaurgavinda Maharaj. You should be respectful to me. I'm our guru, Jagat Guru. And therefore, Sanatana Goswami says, Sabadan, don't do it. Gopayad Guram Atmanaha. He quotes Samoyan Tantra and Hari Bhakti Vilas. Hide your guru. That's a high class person. For those Indian body devotees here, you know, no high-class man will go and advertise his wife or talk about his intimate behavior with his wife, or nor will a woman talk about her intimate dealings with her husband. That's very, very low class. And what to speak, even greater than our husband or our wife, Janme Janme Prabhu say, you're only stuck with your wife one life, or your husband. But Janme Janme Prabhu say, my Gurudev, he's your life after life. So I should keep that a private thing. Not that I go and advertise it everywhere. But the Sneha Silita, he wants to do that. He wants some affection. He wants to make a show of his Gurudev. And then after the Guru is gone, he becomes in great anxiety. Who's going to give me my Gurudev's gone? And because his darshan of his Guru was bhogya darshan, seeing that my Guru is meant to for my enjoyment, not Savya Darshan, he's not saying Guru for his to be served, then he wants to go to someone else. And he goes here and he goes there and he goes there. And Prabhuji, you know, we should do Sadhu Sangha. Right? It's very, very, who are you associating with? Huh? Who are you taking siksha from? Oh, I'm taking siksha from Maharaj over here, and I have this picture. That's not even our system. You're siksha guru, siksha guru gana. You may have many siksha gurus, Kaviraj Goswami says, but you don't keep their pictures on your altar unless you want to advertise. But we should hide our guru. And we should be nishtha to our Gurudev. So this thing is described by Lord Brahma. Jivanti sanmukaritam bhaiva diyavartam. Your life is that katha you've heard from your Gurudev. Now what do you do after you've heard from him? Well, now I'll go to Vrindavan and I'll take a train, I'll go to Navadvip and I'll go here and I'll go there and I'll do this association. No. He says, stani stita. Stay where you're at. Stani stita shuddhi gitam danuvan manobhya. And think about what you've gotten. Digest it. We're getting offered some meal and we take a few bites and the food's still falling out of our mouth and we're running off to some other kitchen to eat something else. Just calm down. Sit down. Digest things properly. And serve that. Tanuvan manobir. With your body, words, and mind. This is what it means to give up Gyan Prayas. This Gyan Prayas, someone who's doing Gyan Prayas, they can't digest. Because they're always running here and there, this sadhu, that sadhu. But they won't understand because they don't have Shravana Adhikar. Qualification here. Sunilena Sunakana. Once, there was one king was holding court and one man brought in and said, Maharaj, I found a human skull. He brought the skull and gave it to the king. The king was a little curious. He was looking at it. Called for his ministers. Said, hey, I want you to tell me, you're supposed to be my ministers. I want to see how wise you are. This is your test. Tell me, please, was this person who had the skull, was he a wise man or not? If you can't tell me, I'll cut off your head. The ministers were, oh, what are we going to say? I don't know. Finally, one minister was very wise. He said, yes, I can tell you. Please bring me a piece of straw. So they brought him one piece of straw. And he took that piece of straw and he inserted it into one ear of the skull. And he pulled it out the other ear. So Maharaj, he was a murkha. He was a fool. So, Sunilena Sunakana. We're hearing, but we're not hearing. Because hearing means that we establish a relationship with Guru. But these people who are doing Gyan Prayas, they're just wanting to collect so much information. And they go sometimes to different sadhus or persons trying to bleed information out of them. And they think, oh, I got some really far out things from them. But what did they do? They didn't get anything. They just collected some bits of information. One sadhu we heard, many people were coming to him. And one day, someone thought, oh, I would like to get his shoes. So he found a pair of shoes exactly like that sadhu's shoes. So he went and bought this new pair of shoes and he replaced them with the old shoes and he kept the old ones. And then that guru, when he came out, he saw this. Hey, what happened? Some chore? Some thief came? And he said, oh, it's such and such. And then he was laughing and teasing that person, you chore, like this. And then he became serious and told him, he said, actually, I was never interested in collecting these kinds of things from my Gurudev. That's bhakti prayas. That's over endeavor. Bhakti bhas prayas. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur also describes there is proper endeavor also in terms of bhakti. But there can be also over endeavor. Prabhupada speaks about in his purport about some people, atyaharis, who are also doing prayas, who want to make a show out of religion. And there's many interesting statements on this in this regard. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said, we printed this in our 8th issue of our Bindu magazine. It is, of course, no proof of the real success of any religious movement that it has been able to secure the allegiance of a large number of professed followers. Should I translate that? We don't judge a movement that they're all successful, some religious movement, by how many people they've acquired. If we judge a religious movement by the number of members and by the opulence, and by how many books they've distributed, how much followers they have, then we should all become Catholics. Because the Catholics have so much money and so many big buildings. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, it's no proof of the real success of any real religious spiritual movement. The actual teachings of no prophet are followed by more than a very small minority of his professed followers. This is the fact. This is a very unpalatable truth. That no prophet in this world in history has actually had very many followers who really follow what he said. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that Jadiyama prati seha take sabakara tabe krishna yatirita nagai deyara. He said, if you love me, you love my instructions. Don't chant any other name. Chant Krishna Nam. And Jagannatha Pandit is also sung. Gorara ami, muke bolile na chale, torara achara, gorara vichara, loile fala fale. My pronunciation is okay? That those persons who are jumping up and down, the big t-shirt, I love Gurudev, I love Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagannatha Pandit says, they're not real followers of him. But that person who's following instructions, the acha, the behavior, who's behaving properly, he's a real follower of Mahaprabhu. And he gets a real result. So this prayas means just to accept a show. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that all these people putting on this show, it doesn't have any meaning, because no prophet in the history of the world has had more than a few followers who's really followed what he said. So if we want to please Śrīla Prabhupāda, if we want to please Rūpa Goswāmī, we should follow their instructions. But this Krishna conscious movement is so very nice. Even if you don't follow their instructions perfectly, still you get benefit. But don't think it means you're not going to suffer. Don't think it means you're not going to go to hell. We may have so many troubles ahead of us. We should understand that. And we should be simple. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple. And that simple means persons who actually follow. Therefore Prabhupada, in one letter to Lalit Kumar and Jambavati Manjis, in 1971 November, Prabhupada said, slow but sure, that is our motto. Class, not mass. So never mind some other Christian movements are getting many followers. The competition is beneficial for us. Slow but sure, that is our motto in class, not mass. That was Srila Prabhupada's desire. Now he's speaking here about prayas, over-endeavoring so much for something. Srila Prabhupada also discusses this in his conversation in Fiji with Guru Kripa Prabhu. Prabhupada said, simply to achieve a large following is not a sign of success. There are many who claim a following, but their followers do not abide by any philosophy. The real thing is quality, not quantity. My Guru Maharaj used to say like that if I get at least one quality disciple, then all my labor will be successful. From the very beginning, Prabhupada said, referring to himself, my strictures are there, that you have to follow this quality. One moon is taken into account. Who takes account of millions of stars? Ekas chandas tamo hanti na cha tara sahasra saha. Quality. So we should be quality devotee, not quantity devotee. So this prayas is a great stumbling block in bhakti. This will destroy our sadhana. Don't do it. Rupa Goswami, he's being very, very kind to us. He's giving us some warning. Hey, don't do this thing. This thing will cause you so much problems, so much trouble. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he speaks about Gyan Prayas, he speaks about Karma Prayas, those persons who think that, oh, just by Vanashram, Dharma following Vanashram, I'll get something. But the Bhagavatam says that if you're not developing some Kata Ruchi, Dharma sunisita pumsam. Vishvakshena katasuya. Na padya yaditi yadivitim shrama evahi kevalam. Shrama evahi kevalam. It's just a waste of time. If you don't have kataruchi, your so-called vanashram dharma, we're not interested in vanashram dharma. When Krishna says sarva dharmam parityagya, he's talking about vanashram dharma. He's talking about all types of dharma, including vanashram dharma. We don't want to cultivate that. That's not pleasing to the Lord. The Lord doesn't care about that. Na sadayati mam yogo na sankhyam dharma Uddhava na svadhyayasta paschavayata bhakti morjita. He tells Uddhava, Krishna tells Uddhava in 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, na sadayati mam yogo. I'm not attained by sadhana. I'm not attained by yoga. Na dharma. Not by vanashram dharma. Not by sankhya, not by analytical study, not by gyan. As much as I'm attained by bhakti, and particularly mentioned by that person who's doing service to their Gurudev. Krishna's pleased by that thing. So if we think that, oh, I'll do this thing, I'll chant Nishina Kavacha, that's very sophisticated. Chanting Krishna Nam is a very common thing. All the devotees are doing that. But if I get really big Nishina Kavacha and I wear it on my arm, and I tell everybody I have a Nishina Kavacha, you know, and I learn some very nice mudras, and mantras and things, and everybody, they'll be very impressed with me by that. That's prayas. What does it have to do with bhakti? Is Krishna impressed by that? You think Krishna, oh, Krishna's watching, oh, I really like the way he's twisting his fingers. That's so nice. You think Krishna's impressed by that? That's foolishness. So we have to give those things up. If we want to advance in bhakti, we have to give up gyan prayas, karma prayas, in bhakti or bhas prayas. We have to make some proper endeavor. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes what is proper prayas. A very nice song. My dear friend, unless you perform very intense bhajan, your endeavors should be varnadhanadina yashrakipa, all these things you're doing, your scholarship, your family life, your wealth, and all these things, they're all prayas. They're all useless endeavors. They're not going to invoke the mercy of the Lord. So he says, Tama hoitiki bhava, patahi sake. My dear friend, the mood of with an unmotivated mood, hoitiki bhava, with no personal selfish motivation, you should worship the Lord of the Gojuma forest flowers, bowers. You should worship Him in that mood. So we should give up this prayas. Should give up karma prayas, give up gyan prayas, and even give up bhakti abhas prayas, all these over endeavors, because they simply cause problems in our spiritual life. Rupa Goswami, he says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bahu Aranga Tyag. Give up all this over endeavor. In his commentary on that verse, Jiva Goswami says that over endeavor means building big temples when you don't have enough money. Accumulating too many disciples. These things disturb us in our bhajan, and they make us stop our bhajan. They'll stop. They'll bhakti vinashati. They'll destroy our sadhana bhakti. So Rupa Goswami, he's warning us. Sabadan. Don't do this thing. The first verse, he describes these different vegas, these different urges. These things had to be completely stopped. He doesn't say that about atyahara and prayas and these other things. These first things, they had to be completely stopped. But if you're doing these second things, and you're thinking that these things are bhakti, or these things are beneficial, then beware. Because these things will destroy your sadhana. So Rupa Goswami says, atyahara prayasas cha. And what's the next thing he says? Prajalpa niyamagraha. So he speaks about prajalpa. And this prajalpa, Srila Prabhupada, he speaks in a very, he comments on this, he speaks in a very similar way that he does to Vachaveg. Prabhupada says, another impediment is prajalpa, unnecessarily talking. When we mix with a few friends, we immediately begin unnecessary talking, sounding just like croaking frogs. The same analogy that he used in the first verse purport. If we must talk, we should talk about, he says, a Krishna conscious movement. We may do that thing. Just like Sanatana Goswami, someone may come and he say, oh, what is he doing? Talking to them about their family and about their crops and their building and this thing and that thing. That's Gramya Katha. I don't want to hear this thing. No. Prabhupada says we can talk about the Krishna conscious movement. You know, Sanatana Goswami is speaking to the Brijbasis, who may not be exactly the same as the people we'd see living today in Vrindavan. We're watching television and MTV and this thing and that thing. It may not be the same. We can tell some stories, but better we don't. You should not think like that, huh? So Prabhupada says, those outside the Krishna conscious movement are interested in reading heaps of newspapers, magazines and novels, solving crossword puzzles and doing many other nonsensical things. But we think these things are innocent. Well, it's not a bad book. There's some wise points in it. Something. That doesn't mean you may actually read something that's directly in connection with your service. Sometimes managers in Krishna consciousness, they read some books on management and they use those. But there's a difference between using that book in Krishna consciousness and being used by that book. If we can dovetail it properly and we see, oh, this is some useful thing, and we can see it in a Krishna conscious way, then it's good. But if we stop seeing in a Krishna conscious way and we start looking through the eyes of that mundane philosopher, that mundane person who's going to teach, then what is the benefit of that? We've lost our caste and we're still hungry, right? The Prabhupada tells a story about the Brahmin who was very, very hungry. And he went to one village and he was going door to door begging. And everybody said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything to give you. The poor Brahmin was on the verge of death. And finally he went to some Sudra's house, very low class person. And he said, do you have something to eat? I'm going to die. He said, well, we have some animal flesh, some dog flesh. We can get, it's all we have. He said, I don't care, I'm hungry. I'm going to die, you have to give me that. So they gave him, but they only gave him a very small piece. So he said, after that he said, so I've lost my caste, but I'm still hungry. So we become like that. And when we turn to mundane philosophers and other persons, we lose our caste, we lose our Krishna consciousness, and we're still hungry. We're still not satisfied. Because only Krishna consciousness will satisfy us. So we should be very, very careful. Prabhupada says, in the Western countries, old men retired from active life play cards, fish, watch television, and debate about useless social political schemes. All these and other frivolous activities are included in the prajalpa category. Intelligent persons interested in Krishna consciousness should never take part in such activities. This includes television. Prabhupada mentions it. Prabhupada, in one conversation in Bombay in 1976, he said, Western civilization is very attractive to the Rakshasa class. Eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy. This is a Rakshasa mentality. As soon as there's television or similar invention, they become very much enthused. They purchase and waste their time. I've seen in America, the old man of the family, one dog, one television, simply wasting time. How they're wasting a valuable human life. How they are kept in darkness. This is life. I have seen television. All some fictitious stories. Prabhupada says like that. So we should think about that. What does it mean? This prajalpa. It's prajalpa because it takes our consciousness away from reality. It takes us to some fantasy land. Where we want to enjoy in some other way. We want to enjoy reading some novel. And we think that I'm the sailor in Moby Dick, who's going and chasing that person. Or we watch some television movie or show, and we think, yes, I'm the hero or the heroine on this show, and we identify with that. It means that we don't have a life. And we simply waste our life, fantasizing, imagining somebody else's life. So if we get absorbed in this kind of prajalpa, then sadbir bhaktir vinashati. This thing will destroy our sadhana bhakti. We've seen devotees. I knew some brahmachari devotees when I was in the Sankirtan party in Los Angeles. And they started staying up late at night watching MTV and eating chocolate ice cream. They didn't last very long either as brahmacharis, nor did they last very long as grihasthas before they left. It's a serious thing. It's okay if you want to be a sense enjoyer, then be a sense enjoyer. But if you want to be a devotee, don't put on a show. If we really want bhakti, it's a serious thing. In one sense, it's not such a difficult thing. But in another sense, it's a very, very difficult thing. Because we've spent so many, many lifetimes being addicted to these types of sense enjoyment. If we're serious about Krishna consciousness, we have to give them up. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a series of articles in Sajjanatoshani where he speaks about association, which is something we'll be coming to later this afternoon. And he speaks also about this prajalpa, because this prajalpa arises in bad association. And he says that there's different kinds of bad association. We'll speak more about that later. But there's one kind is the persons who look like they're devotees. And we think, oh, they're a devotee. It must be okay, just like we were telling the story of the devotee in France who was saying, oh, smoking ganja is very good because it helps me in my chanting. I get some ananda, some happiness from doing that. And it's okay because all the other devotees do it, all his friends. And even the person I buy it from, he also does it. He's also doing that thing too. This thing arises from bad association. Prajalpa arises from asat-sangha. And we think that in bad association, we think, oh, this movie's not a bad movie. You know, part of the movie, there's one character in the movie, he's chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, really? We should go see the movie. It must be a bona fide movie. If it's your service to do that, Nishringananda Prabhu, ITV in America, it's his service. He goes and he watches those movies. Poor fellow. We feel some sympathy for him. And then he cuts out, he finds some clip where they're chanting Hare Krishna, and he cuts that out and he makes it into some ITV movie. And then you can, I don't know, you show that at the Sunday feast or something. And people see, oh, the movies, they're also chanting Hare Krishna. This is a very good thing. But if we go to the movie and we sit there for 2.5 hours so we can watch 10 minutes or 1 minute probably or less of somebody chanting Hare Krishna, who are we fooling? Do we think Krishna really believes that we're doing this for him? Yes, Krishna, I'm going to this movie for 2.5 hours and to watch these people killing each other and blowing things up and doing sex and stealing things and doing all these different nasty things because there's 60 seconds of someone chanting Hare Krishna and Nama Parada and Nama Basa Des. This is my service to you. Huh? Who are we fooling? Does Krishna bewildered by that? Do you think Krishna is fooled? Huh? No, Krishna's not fooled. Who's fooled?
Only you. Only you think that's actually service, huh? So we destroy our sadhana in this way. And we see, practically, people become addicted, devotees even become addicted to watching movies and things like this. They can't rise early in the morning. They stay up all night long watching it. It's a huge waste of time. Something comes on and they become like a robot. They become hypnotized. And they can't stop watching this thing. And they destroy their sadhana. They can't rise early in the morning. Even if they do rise early in the morning, what are they thinking about? When they chant japa, they're just thinking about, boy, that girl in the movie, she was really... She was really like this or that. Or that action scene they had, it was really... They're thinking some nonsense thing. And they're destroying their life. They're wasting their time. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he's warned us, be careful.
Asarvarta vesha visija mati sarvasva harani kata mukti vyagrana shani nashrinu kila sarvatma gilani api chatva lakshmipati ratyamito vyomanayanim braj radha krishna swarati manidotam tvam bhajamanaha.
He's telling us, give up this prajalpa. And what is the nature of this prajalpa?
A sadvarta vesha.
It's just like a prostitute. Just like a man, he thinks, oh, this girl, she's so beautiful. Gosh, I would get so much pleasure if I could just be with her. There's a story we heard. One young man in India, he was saving money so long to go to America so that he could make money and he could be happy. Because in America, everybody's happy. That's what he was thinking, even though he doesn't know that the highest rate of death, highest cause of death for teenagers in America is suicide. So he saved so much money, and with great difficulty he went to America, he went to New York, and he said, yes, this is where it's at, this is what I've seen in the movies. And he went to some nightclub, and he was dancing in the nightclub and drinking, and some beautiful young girl came up to him. Oh, and he was talking with her, and she told him, you know, you give me some money, we can go to some hotel. Yes, very, very good. So he gave her some money that now I'm really enjoying. And he woke up in bed the next morning, and she was gone. And all of his money was gone. And written on the mirror, and it's a true story, written on the mirror in that room with some words in lipstick, it said, "Welcome to the world of AIDS." So, we think like that. We think, oh, this is a very nice thing. We think this Gramikata is very, very nice. It's very, very sweet. We like to hear this thing. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he says, Asadvarta Vesha. She's a prostitute, Baba. She's just going to steal all of your money, all of your punya. If you do this Gramikata, this Prajalpa, it'll take away all of your benefit, all your spiritual benefit. And what will it do to you at the end? It'll just give you AIDS. You'll get some terrible disease, material disease, and by which you'll die. So he says you should give this thing up, because this thing, Harani, it'll steal away your real treasure. And what is that treasure? That treasure is a treasure, he says, of pure wisdom. Real understanding. We'll forget what's right and what's wrong. If we start being caught up by a prostitute, you forget what's right and what's wrong. Similarly, when we start hearing this prajalpa, we forget what's right and what's wrong. He says that kata mukti vyagra, you should give up hearing all talks about mukti, about liberation. We don't care about that. Mukti tucha phala hoy nama basa hoyte. Kaviraj Goswami dismisses it in one sentence. Mukti tucha phala hoy. It's tucha phala. It's very insignificant fruit of even nama basa. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I thought we were a little earlier than we were. So we should stop there. I'm sorry for going so late.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two are in cause and effect, as the Prabhupada says.
One means things, the other is action.
That's my understanding, roughly, that if we accumulate so many things, then the activity, if we have a desire, we could say, to accumulate so many things, then that activity of getting it, that's prayas.
The activity.
And the collection of
this.
Yeah. Or the endeavor to collect those things, to get those things. That's prayas. And that even implies in bhakti.
Because it seems like Prabhupada is also over-collected.
Yeah, well, therefore Prabhupada says in the purport that from atyahara comes prayas. When you have, we could say, I think more clearly, that atyahara means a desire for those things. A desire for collecting those things. That's the root of it. And we're seeing so many other people, they have a nice car. They have so many nice things. I also want to get those things. So then with prayas, with great endeavor, we go and do those things.
So
and it becomes...
First one is the mental action, and the second one is the endeavor.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Okay, my apologies, I didn't know that. So if that happens again, please tell me. Please go. Don't be angry with me.